This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. My guests are from the Farmers Alley Theater in Kalamazoo, which will open Spamalot on Friday and continue through the end of the month. I'd like to welcome actor Dirk Lombard, who plays King Arthur. Hi, Dirk.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to see you again.
It's great. Always be great to be here.
Jamila Sabaris-Clem is also with us today for the first time.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And director and choreographer Stephen Brodebeck is back after a terrific review program a couple of years ago. And you're the director and choreographer. Thank you so much for returning.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
And having the moment to spend at WMUK with us.
That's my pleasure.
So Spamalot, this is a really, really successful production based on the movie, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It must have seemed like can't miss from the beginning, but that's never the case with theater.
No, I mean, you know, I think what's interesting is that when the show tried out, they tried to put as much of the movie into it as possible. And one of the things that we were discovering is that the second act is actually longer than the first act, which is kind of rare comes to musicals, and kind of not the formula you want to use, because your audience by the second act is sort of like, all right, let's wrap it up. But they cut a whole bunch of things in the first act, which makes the first act shorter. So they went through numerous tryouts when they originally did the show, 2004, 2005. And then they got really successful, winning Best Musical in New York City. And it's become, you know, a nationwide phenomenon. And I think most theaters that have the ability to do it try to do it because it's so popular.
How big is this show? I've seen a production that came through that was a touring production, and my sense of it was that it was an enormous cast of thousands, you know, constant movement and so much going on all at once.
It's a large show. And I will venture to say, and I think the producers, Adam and Rob from Farmers Alley, will also say it's the largest production that Farmers Alley has ever done. We're lucky to be in the WMU's Little Theater because of the construction going downtown outside of Farmers Alley. So that actually makes this production much easier. I think it would have been very challenging to do it in the small space downtown. And for me, coming from the last two shows that I've done at Farmers Alley, which were the small reviews that were coffee and desserts and a smaller cast, to a cast of 14, it's been an amazing experience. When it comes to size, we have actually cut the ensemble from 12 to 6. So a show that we'd usually have 12 ensemble members playing multiple characters is now down to 6. And those are the 6 hardest working ensemble members in show business, I would venture to say, around the country right now.
So from multiple roles in a cast of 12, there are now multiple roles in a cast of 6.
Correct. Yeah. And all of our principals as well, all of with the exception of Dirk and Jamila, actually, all of our principals play multiple characters as well. So even some of the named knights like Sir Galahad and Sir Robin also play other characters in the show in true Monty Python fashion.
Right.
Yeah.
For some people who haven't seen the stage show Spamalot, they'll still recognize a couple of songs from the movies.
They sure will. Yep. Knights of the Round Table and the good old favorite, which I think is so apt for our time right now, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
You are director and choreographer. What do you put first? What is your first love?
You know, I started off as a choreographer because I was a dancer and a musical theater performer after I graduated from Western in 2000 with my musical theater degree. And so choreography for me always came first. But once I started directing, for me, when it comes to creating numbers and creating the show, I do a big blueprint and a big outline of the show first. And steps are actually the last thing that I do when it comes to choreography. Mm. It's about the shape of the number, what the storytelling of the number is, to make sure that we're getting everything told in the right way within the confines of choreography or the staging. And then I go back and I put the steps in there that go along with the music and try to find fun bits. And Dirk and the rest of the cast has been really amazing. I mean, this show is so extremely collaborative, and it's been wonderful to work with Dirk on some of the bits that we've been doing in the show and the rest of the cast as well.
Dirk, you just came off a run at Farmers Alley Theater playing Alfie Baron in A Man of No Importance, and congratulations for a wonderful performance.
Thank you.
In that.
Thank you.
So are you transferring your Irish accent
Irish.
to the Irish show?
To the to the British and to the king. Oh yes, here we are. Yes, so all commanding King Arthur. So it's quite a flip and quite a challenge, and in that way it's quite satisfying. It's incredible to have that opportunity.
Is it safe to say it goes from smaller to broader?
Yes, you can say that. Yes, definitely. Yes. It is definitely two different, it's apples and oranges, and it is so, it's great with my part because I basically play the straight man to everybody else's lunacy and clowns, and it's a lot of fun to do that. At first, you're like going, oh, I don't have any laughs lines. Everybody else has all the laugh lines. I just set them all up and everything. But it's so much fun to sit back, and particularly with this cast. We have a cast of incredibly amazing, gifted comedian actors.
Yeah.
And they all have to be singer, dancers, actors, and comedians. It's like, not even just triple threat, it's got to be quadruple, you know. That comedian thing in there is an element that's got to, you either have it or you don't,
for
those characters.
And I think what's so great, we discovered this from the first read through. You know, when you cast a show, living in San Diego now, a majority of the casting I did, actually all of it, was via video. So, you know, I would look at the videos, and then I cast the show with our artistic director, Jeremy. And so you hope for the best, and you think, okay, I think I've got the best cast. Because as many directors say, casting is anywhere from 60% of the job to 99% of the job. You know what I mean? And in this case, I think on the higher end is really, really true. We did the first read through, and everyone had the style, the Monty Python style, right away. And I thought, all right, a lot of my job is done.
And video auditioning was successful.
It was very successful, yeah. And you know, that happens more often than not now with directors like myself who travel around the country to direct in different places and don't necessarily live in New York or live maybe in the town where the regional theater is. Video auditions are sort of becoming the norm, and actors like Rod and actors like, Dirk and Rod and Rod Cohn, who's in our show, and Jamila are constantly creating video auditions, and it's almost become an art of doing that. It's an art of auditioning.
Well, there's artifice when you use a camera, or there can be, but to actually win an audition, you want to show more of your authentic self and abilities too. So it would be tempting as the performer to create a version of oneself for an audition like that. But for the person who is evaluating, you're trying to pierce through to the core of that person.
And what's interesting is you can pretty much tell when someone has created something that is false. You know, there's a difference between fine-tuning your technique to the camera. So, you know, when you audition live, it's definitely different than when you're auditioning on camera, even if you're auditioning for live theater. But there's a difference between seeing what is false and someone who's really put all this editing in together and everything, and someone who really does have that ability to fine tune their live audition to a video.
Well, I got us off on a strange topic.
I think it's an interesting one. I do.
Sorry about
no
that.
No worries.
Well, Spamalot, again, for those who just tuned in, it begins this Friday at Farmers Alley Theater. The home of Farmers Alley Theater right now is the Little Theater on Oakland Drive, which seats about 200 mm-hmm. people, and that's going to be a lot of loud laughing on Friday night. The show continues through the 31st. I'm glad it's going 3 weekends because the last show seemed a little short to my taste.
Yeah.
And details and tickets are available at farmersalleytheater.com. Be sure to spell theater with an R-E at the end. Well, let's continue in a moment, but perhaps we can take a chance now to hear some of the music from the show. Would you introduce this first number?
Sure. So the first number that we're going to play is Knights of the Round Table. And as we discussed earlier, this is actually a long sequence. The first part of it is a song that, if you know the movie really well, you'll recognize when King Arthur and his knights go to Camelot. This is sort of the silly song that they sing when they go. This number then goes into sort of a Vegas-y lounge act that parodies. One of the thing about Spamalot is that it parodies very a lot of different entertainment styles, from Broadway to Vegas to the movies. And we go into sort of a Las Vegas showroom number, which is done by the Lady of the Lake in a wonderfully decadent costume. And then it finishes out with the end of the Knights of Round Table. So it's a really fun sequence.
Listen to that. That's from Spamalot with music of Eric Idle, a couple other collaborators there too. But he was, of course, the original member in Monty Python and created Spamalot for the stage in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It really sounds like they're not holding back.
Not anything. At all.
You will enjoy yourself. You will laugh.
As I say to the cast, there's nothing subtle going on at all in the show.
Well, it sounds like a lot to juggle. But shows come together bit by bit. I mean, it's not like you have to tackle everything at once. And the process is, to me, so fascinating, hearing about how do you create funny. It's not always, it often has so much thought behind it.
Right.
And details and experience.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, like as Dirk said, we have such a gifted cast of comedians in this cast, and to watch their process, especially someone like Rod Cohn, who's playing Sir Robin. I mean, his process is, you can see how serious he is in rehearsal, and then, you know, trying to figure out bits and making sure that everything is working quite right. And then we go into the scene and he's on, and it's just absolutely hysterical, you know, so that there is that analytical side to it, that thought process when it comes to comedy. It doesn't just sort of happen.
I would like to spend a little time talking to Jamila here. Jamila Sabaris-Clem is playing the Lady of the Lake.
Yes.
I understand you recently spent a little time in Chicago.
Yes, I did.
For a production of The King and I.
Yeah, at the Lyric Opera House. It was, oh my gosh, that theater is incredible. And
I've never been to it.
It's huge. I don't think I've ever played in a house that large.
Designed for opera.
Yes, right. Designed for opera. I actually went to high school and studied classical music voice. So it was a very proud moment. I was like, my teacher in high school would be very proud of me right now. I'm singing at the Lyric Opera House of Chicago.
Was this a concert performance where the orchestra's on stage with you, or was this a production where they were in the pit and you had a run of?
Yes, they were in the pit. Yes, they were in the pit. Yes, it was a whole run. It was maybe a whole month run. It was a long production. It came from Paris. The production came from Paris, and we the costumes and the sets, I mean, it was just luxurious. It was really, really, really fun to be in.
Well, just like Dirk last month was playing a complicated sweet drama, and now is playing in, you know, King Arthur in Spamalot. I mean, that must be one of the greatest joys of acting and being in theater.
Yes, it's so wonderful to just get to be able to be all these different people and play all these different roles. I definitely laugh a lot more in this production. The talent in Spamalot right now is just unbelievable. I just, you know, when you work with people who are just so on their game, you want to just up yours, you know, you up sure. your game and
well, you know, all the guys in Monty Python were men. Eric Idle's yes. a man. Do you feel that your part, you know, allows you to be as funny as male?
No, they get some good stuff. I mean, the diva is just, in rehearsals, I feel like a diva because I'm just, I literally come on, I like, you know, belt my face and then walk off, you know, and then come on again for the next one. They're just the best. I love working with them. But they do have, you know, I have such, I love to watch this show. You know, sometimes you get in a production and you're like, okay, I'll just be in my dressing room until I have to come on. But this show, I like to be out and watch them and watch them work because they come up with the craziest and most amazing things that I'm just kind of like what Stephen was saying, it's comedy is so specific. You know, it's, you can't just like throw something up and hope it lands. You know, it's the specificity is what makes it land. And yeah.
But the great part with Jamila is she's got a very, very hysterical part. And we're all screaming at her. She's so, so funny. And then on top of it, she's got this voice that is unbelievable. I mean, it's worth the price of the ticket right there is to hear her sing this material because she just lets loose. And it is unbelievable. And Stephen, you were talking about the performance yesterday, right, for...
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday we did a performance at the Rotary Club and Jamila sang, I think one of the songs that we're going to be playing coming up. And the audience was just enthralled by her voice. I mean, and her performance. I mean, and it's an interesting song to take out of context, but the laughter she was getting and the applause and it just, the applause kind of just kept going and going and going. And
this
was a noontime.
Yeah.
It was a noontime, Rotarian lunch. It was really quite amazing.
It's really sweet.
Well, give us a little context to hear the diva's lament.
So she is full and active in Act One. She is there every other scene, singing some songs. And then Act Two, she gets a little bit more of a break than she would like to off stage. And she comes out and she lets people know how she feels.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
What ever happened to my part? It was exciting at the start. Now we're halfway through Act Two, and I've had nothing yet to do. I've been off stage for far too long. It's ages since I had a song. Not yours, not yours, but mine.
Clearly making up for lost time. That is the Lady of the Lake in Spamalot. And here at WMUK is Jamila Sabaris-Clem, who is in the role starting on Friday with the run continuing through the 31st of July. Mm-hmm. That's quite a big moment, a big reminder that Eric Idle has let you stay off stage for much too long.
Yes, yes, it is.
So absurdity, comedy, physical humor, nothing is left out here.
No, nothing. No, it, anything you would expect in the biggest, splashiest Broadway musical, it's going to be in Spamalot and more.
And you're using a orchestra of six instrumentalists who I imagine are trading off instruments just as often as Absolutely. You are trading characters and bits.
Definitely. And they're led by our amazing musical director, Kelly Love Hazelton, who's been working with this amazing cast, making them sound great. And then, you know, it's some of the finest musicians, I think, in Kalamazoo. They are, you know, these, as you know, I think Broadway scores are very, you know, Broadway pits are difficult to play.
They're demanding.
They're very demanding. And what they are accomplishing with the, similar to our ensemble, with a reduced orchestration is amazing. You know, Dirk had said earlier that it's hard to hear what's actually missing from the original Broadway recording. So Kelly and the guys have done really amazing work.
This theater, the Little Theater on Oakland Drive, is a traditional setup in from what I think of as theaters, where there's an audience and then a raised stage and
the proscenium,
curtains.
Yeah,
the
it's proscenium. A proscenium house.
I love using that word. That's new to me. There's a proscenium stage.
Yes.
So, being creative with that, is that something that in the back of your mind you think I would like to sort of break the barrier?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. As a director, I love working in thrust, which is sort of with the audience on three sides, or in the round, which is the audience on all sides. But with a show like Spamalot, it yearns to be in a typical proscenium house with three to four wings, things rolling in and out. It's just kind of how the show was written and designed. So when I found out that, you know, because actually I think the show was on the schedule before the move was happening. And when I found out that we were moving to the Little Theater, I was so happy because I knew that we could accomplish even more than we could have accomplished downtown. So it's actually allowed, you know, again, with me having worked in the two previous smaller shows here, allowed me to be even more creative. And pay homage to a lot of what the original production did in 2005.
Are you working with sound enhancement as actors?
You mean like microphones?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And CJ is amazing.
Yeah, CJ and Garrett. Yeah, Garrett, our sound designer, and CJ, our mixer. You know, the sound system at the Little Theater is really quite good.
Yes.
And you have to with this orchestra and the music, because again we're parodying rock, Broadway rock, with Andrew Lloyd Webber and 60s sound, the 70s sound, so it's really got to be full, and you got to feel like, you know, you're in a musical experience in that theater, and you do get it with that wonderful theater. Yeah.
Isn't there an Andrew Lloyd Webber joke?
There sure is.
There's a couple, actually.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few.
As if the UK isn't big enough for both Eric Idle.
It's interesting that Spamalot, you would think, from British land, you know, that it would have started in London, but it didn't. It started on Broadway and huge hit, and then of course it went to the UK and became a huge hit over there. And but, you know, normally you'd think, oh well, you know, like Mary Poppins, like many of the Broadway shows that take place in England, you know, start over there, but it started on Broadway.
Well, besides King Arthur and the Lady of the Lake, who are some of the other characters that we follow during Spamalot?
Well, we follow the knights, you know, Lancelot, Bedivere, Galahad, but we have some of the wonderful characters of, it probably seems like about a third of the show, maybe a little more, maybe less, depending on how you look at it, is a tribute to Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So you have some of these classic scenes of the French taunter,
yeah.
Taunter, yeah. Knights Who Say Nay, the Black Knight, just some fantastic scenes that the people are going to be coming and wanting to see, and it's a beautiful rendition, and you know, to the movie with some added pieces in it. So you get such a satisfactory. What other scenes have I? Herbert.
Yes, the Herbert scene.
The Herbert scene.
Exactly, Herbert and his father.
God, his sister. And they put a twist in that that's just brilliant.
it's really
that's the thing. They put in some of these twists in at the end of it. So you're not just watching this wonderful,
recreation of
the original, but you get this little added twists of humor that they end up paying off.
And I think that's what makes a good movie turned into a musical. You know, many times as we know nowadays, most of Broadway fare is movies that have been turned into musicals. And I think the most successful ones are the ones that don't pay, that are not totally in line with what the movie was, but that they sort of veer off in different directions here and there, because mm-hmm. it allows the audience to experience something different. And also it allows people who don't know the movie very well to experience new things as well.
And it shows the confidence of the stage show's creators,
right,
to take the material and really design it for a live experience rather than just parroting the movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually was just watching some clips this morning again of the movie, and just these little added lines at the end of actual lines in the movie, and they just added a little something at the end, like when God comes down, who actually Lori Moore plays our God.
Who else in Kalamazoo?
Right,
who else in Kalamazoo would play God?
Well,
really?
I'm a little jealous, but okay.
And she's fantastic. But just the little taglines at the end of God, you'll have to come see it to know what the taglines are. They're just an added piece of brilliance. Yeah.
It's very true.
So you do sound like your fans as much as part of the cast putting this together.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, when I was in high school, I think we watched this almost every Friday night, you know, when I was a junior and a senior in
the
high
movie.
School. The movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, you know, we'd be at friends' house and, you know, it gets to about 9 or 10 at night and it's like, well, what do we do? Well, let's throw on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you know, and it's just one of those movies.
Well, I'm so glad it was done well, you know,
yeah.
Because it does get, sometimes you can be disappointed by transforming a beloved book or a beloved movie into another form.
Yeah.
But with Eric Idle being a member of both or being part of both, then kind of ensures
that it's going to come out all right.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, let's pick another tune, a song.
Yeah, so this happens right after they get their instructions from God, in our case, Lori Moore, and she's a scream, and to find the Holy Grail. So we are out in search after our directions by God to find the Holy Grail.
What a rousing finish to the song Find Your Grail, a message for all of us.
Absolutely. As King Arthur says, the grail is a metaphor.
I'm talking to cast members and the director and choreographer of Spamalot at Farmers Alley Theater, which begins on Friday and continues through July 31st. All details are available online at farmersalleytheater.com, theater spelled T-E-T-H-E-A-T-R-E. And my guests are director choreographer Stephen Brodebeck, an alum of Western Michigan University, Jamila Sabaris-Clem, who plays Lady of the Lake and has some showstoppers, and King Arthur, who holds the entire construct together, played by Dirk Lombard, who is one of the stars, I would say, of the company at Farmers Alley and has done such great work in our area in the last couple of months, or more, 3 months or so. we're nearing the end of the hour, about 15 minutes to go. So what else can we talk about?
What's really how the ending of the movie Holy Grail is just classic. You know, that they end up during the film, they're filming Holy Grail and they've accidentally killed somebody. And the whole movie just ends up stopping because the police come and arrest them all for, you know, literally supposedly killing somebody. So how do you end a Broadway musical, you know, that movie ends like that? And they do a brilliant ending for this. I don't want to give it away, but it's a little bit of audience participation.
Yes.
But you will not be let down by this ending. It is really pretty genius. And again, their quest at the very end ends up being very different from the movie, which is how they pulled it off is just genius.
What kind of theater deception or magic or, you know, ways of suggesting real life things are you employing here?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of sleight of hand going on,
yeah.
You know, in a small space that we have at the Little Theater, while it is larger than Farmer's Alley with the sort of scope of the show and the immense nature of the set and costumes. I mean, the costumes in the show alone are just, they're phenomenal. And the amount of times that everyone's changing costume and the scenes and, you know, you look at a show sometime and you say, okay, well, we can get away with maybe doing this a little more simply, and that just doesn't work with the show. You have to go full Spamalot, and if you don't go full Spamalot, you then let yourself down and the audiences down. But there's lots of stuff that surprises the audience coming in from above or from the sides, from various different doors on stage, things coming out in different directions.
I love, you know, that this technology was in use 500 years ago.
Well, and that's what's great. It's like we're not using any sort of automation that is used in some of the big Broadway shows right now, but we're making it look like it's happening that way in certain ways. So there are some things that you still can't replace.
Yeah, and that theater directors and backstage workers were able to create magic for so long now and fool audiences and
there is a moment, I will say, as we ended our technical rehearsal last night, there is a moment in the show, and I won't give away the magic, but there was a very simple solution to a big problem we were having with the two stairs. We have two very large stair units in the show, and they need to stay together and they need to be very stable. And we came up with a very, very simple human solution, and that's all I'll say about it.
All right. Well, I realize that you're all working very, very hard to mount the show, which begins on Friday, but as a when you work 14 hours in the theater, you need to walk out and breathe some breaths and take a break, or maybe you can even kill the funny for a while. So what do you do to refresh yourselves while you're here in Kalamazoo?
Oh, I have gone to Saugatuck and St. Joseph's, and I mean, just go over by the lake, and it's so beautiful. Also, the rivers and the lakes up here, they are so beautiful. It was great because I came up in beginning of May for Man of No Importance, and I got to, and I came from down North Carolina, so I got to enjoy a spring all over again with all the beautiful trees and leaves coming out. And I live down in Kalamazoo, and I walk on that mall and through the park every morning, and it's a beautiful, beautiful town and some fantastic places to eat and the beer choices. Oh my gosh, it's
That's
a
nice
gem.
To hear. Yeah.
It is a gem of a town.
And Stephen, you're back home.
I am. Yeah, I've had a chance to visit family over the 4th of July weekend, and when the show opens, I'll be going back to the east side of the state in Grand Blanc, where I'm from, and spend time with my mom and my brother and sister-in-law and my nephews. So that'll be really nice. And it's nice to come back in the summer this time. The last two times I've been back, it's been the winter. So I haven't spent summer in Michigan in a while. So it's really lovely.
That's the best time.
Yeah.
And Jamila?
Well, right now I'm actually staying in Portage. Janice and Jerry Stifler, who are such gracious hosts. And so it's kind of nice. I get out and I have trees surrounding me and just a really nice neighborhood. So I go, you know, for a run and walks. And it's a nice, it's a different pace than New York City where I live now. So this just being here and enjoying green is nice.
And what is next? I mean, I know right now your whole world is Spamalot, but
yes.
There'll be something else in the future booked.
I hope so. Right now, that the life of an actor, you're constantly going on quote-unquote interviews, but auditions for your next job. So right now I have a couple projects that I'm hoping one fish will bite.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything you're looking forward to, Dirk?
I'm going to France for a couple weeks immediately after this. And yeah, nice. And I have a couple teaching things I'll be doing over there, and go back to East Carolina University where I teach with the dance department. And then I'll be playing Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol at the Lyric Theater in Oklahoma City over the holidays, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, at least you'll be warm and cozy. Yeah. That's lovely. And how about you, Stephen?
I'll be returning to San Diego, where I live now. I'm a professor of musical theater in the graduate musical theater program at San Diego State, which I just started last August. So I'll be starting my second year, and I'm absolutely loving it out there after 14 years in New York. I still develop new musicals in New York. I have a few writers that I've been working with, and there are a few projects that are out there that we'll be hopefully getting to reading or workshop stage within the next year.
And so teaching hasn't completely overtaken.
Not at all. And I think what's great about academia, and I'm sure Dirk would concur, is that most theater departments encourage you and almost demand you to be current in your profession and continue to work. And I have an amazingly collaborative faculty at San Diego State who, if projects were to come up during the school year, I'm able to apply for leave to leave and then do that project, whether it be in New York or around the country. So it's really the best of both worlds, and I get to live in San Diego.
Yeah, we all hate you for that. You mentioned the Old Globe Playhouse?
The Old Globe Theater.
Theater. Mm-hmm. This is one of the premier theater on the West Coast?
There are a few on the West Coast. We have a hugely vibrant theatrical community in San Diego, which includes the Old Globe Theater and the La Jolla Playhouse, where I would say a fourth of Broadway shows, if not more, over the past 10 to 12 years have started or have at least come through mm-hmm. as a tryout house.
And are they terrific spaces, venues?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. The Old Globe is a wonderful facility that has been, it's been rebuilt a few times because there have been numerous fires throughout its history. Funny enough, similar to the Old Globe in Shakespeare's time. The spaces are quite wonderful at both venues. Mm-hmm.
I just wondered. I'm doing some, vicarious traveling right
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I mean,
it does surprise me that you go to Broadway, not every theater is state of the art.
No, but the theaters in San Diego, especially the two, each of those theaters has smaller spaces and larger spaces. The two larger spaces in both of those theaters are on par with Broadway houses when it comes to their technology and what they can produce.
Well, Stephen and Dirk and Jamila, thank you very much for sharing some time at WMUK.
Thank you.
And last thoughts, any tell listeners why they should see some Spamalot.
Oh, it's fantastic. We all need, I think a little Monty Python in our life right now. And again, the wonderful slant this show has is takes its hat off to theater. Now, Broadway theater anywhere, and you will get an experience that you'll never get in a movie theater or at home watching TV. This is a piece that needs to be seen in the theater, and it will just give you so much joy, and you will laugh and laugh and laugh.
Dirk, thank you. And any final words from Jen?
I just encourage everyone to come see it, because I think it's going to be a show that people will be talking about for a long time in Kalamazoo.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming. And we'll go out with the song that goes like this.
Once in every show, there comes a song like this. It starts off soft and low and ends up with a kiss. Oh, where is the song that goes like this? Where is it? Where?